Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
We've got coffee. It's Laptop Empires podcast time. So we're here. It's Mike. It's Bobby. It's the podcast. This is a different intro. It's whatevs. Just enjoying my coffee. How you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I realized as I listened to the last couple of episodes, we typically start the episodes by talking about whatever we're drinking. So if it's coffee, like the last one that I listened to, I drank some cold coffee or something, like that was at the bottom of the cup and it was a disgusting experience. Or we'll talk about like what kind of bourbon glass. I don't know if that says anything about us that we're usually talking about like what we're drinking, but I just wanted to point that out.
It would be a lot more of an entertaining conversation if we got to where we were recording in the evening again.
No, we're always talking about coffee. Like, so like the coffee is like, oh, I'm drinking the mocha pecan whatever from the private selection at Kroger, you know, like we do with wine and bourbon and stuff.
Yeah, I don't do that with coffee. I got whatever I just scooped out of the red box. So let's go ahead and change the subject. Well, how's business, man? Like, how are things lately in the world
I'm feeling
the Bobster?
I'm good, man. Launched that blog is seeming to be proving itself as a service.
Yeah. Has there ever been anything in business for you that has, I don't know, exceeded expectations more than that? I'm just surprised. Like, I knew it was going to do good, but it's like doing really well.
I think Facebook Side Hustle probably, that first launch probably exceeded my expectations a little bit. I wasn't expecting to be like six figures plus on a first launch. I thought it was going to do well, but not that well. But this is probably number two. This is strong number two.
Yeah, that's
it's a good point. It's not doing that much revenue, but it's doing on
like six times what it was doing.
Yeah. Now it is still early, but last month it was a big boost and it looks like, you know, it looks like it's going to be good. And we're getting a launch that blog signups for Laptop Empires too, which I wasn't quite expecting.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing. We'll get into the topic in a second, but when we originally came up with the idea for Launch That Blog, and you can go listen to the Launch That Blog episode, the announcing Launch That Blog episode. And it was really, I was just helping you with affiliate income for Millennial Money Man and specifically Bluehost, and was like, why don't we just try totally changing the offer, like doing setup. We'll set up everything for you instead of the same thing everybody does for Bluehost sales. And you're like, yeah, that's a good idea. So we worked on it, create a bunch of bonuses and stuff, put it out there, and it was working, and like, which we knew it would. It was working. It's been working a little better than we expected. And then I think the reason I'm so surprised is we put it on the Laptop Empires website, which we haven't even begun to focus on traffic for Laptop Empires yet. We're not driving ads. We haven't been posting blog content. Like, that's going to be starting soon. Actually, it might have started by the time this episode goes live, because we're trying to get it rolling. But all the traffic's from the podcast. And the podcast isn't a traffic generator, but we're generating affiliate sales because the offer is that strong, which is just
it's cool.
Insane. It's very cool.
No, I'm excited to scale it in the future. And it's just one of those things. I feel like it's a no-brainer. I mean, you get a ton of free stuff with the setup and all the resources that we give you and all that. But there's been a little bit, like, I've had to figure some things out on the back end. It's a new thing, so you got to figure out some of the process and ways that things work. But overall, it's been really smooth, and the team's been handling it really well. So I feel really good about it over the next, you know, like 2019, 2020. I feel like we're going to be able to scale that along with our courses. And
it's going to be fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It already has been fun, though, with all of our course launches, as I segue into...
What? Into the topic. Man, that was smooth. Okay. Yeah. So today's topic is really an episode we probably should have done way, way back at the very start when we did our series on course launches in episodes 2, 3, and 4. Go check those out. Really fun behind the scenes episodes of, you know, our 2 6-figure launches that we did, the first two launches of the Facebook Side Hustle course. And so today we're talking about overcoming objections when you're selling, particularly when you're doing a launch for a course. It's really selling anything, but if you're doing a launch and you're sending emails or you're running ads, you're gonna see objections and it's gonna come up. And this is a little different than overcoming objections, like if you're doing phone sales or something else like that, where you're presenting an offer and going through a sales conversation, because this is, they're going through a sales page and then they're leaving a comment or they're emailing you or sending you a private message because they've got questions or they've got an objection or whatever it is. And we spent a lot of time this year, you and I, working, helping other bloggers with their launches. And this is something like it was something we had to learn and figure out. And it's something that's been a growing pain for everyone that we've worked with. And it's just, one, committing the time to talk to people that have questions about your course. Because during the launch, like, you're going to spend, if you're doing it right, a lot of time talking to people and really moving the needle to get that sale. Then it's like, how do you respond? Like, how do you handle that? And it's the same thing that I get with my agency clients, where they're like, well, people are like, especially price, right? They're like, oh, it's too much money or whatever. Price is always an objection. It's right. The one guaranteed objection. And so we want to talk about, how do you handle those conversations? What do you do? Kind of categorize the type of objections you're going to see and just have a conversation about that, because I think it's something that makes people uncomfortable. And because it's something that makes people uncomfortable, they tend to either not do well with it or they tend to avoid it. And it's unfortunate, because I think if we didn't do the work that we do to answer people's questions and handle their objections during a launch, we would not have had successful launches we've had every single launch we've done.
Right.
We spend a lot of time doing that. You especially, you definitely spend more time in the inbox with that than I do.
Yeah. No, I get a lot of emails. You know, you said that you wish we had done this earlier. But I almost don't, because we've done so many launches and flash sales and all the stuff this year that I feel like I've gotten a lot of experience doing this. And I have like a good idea now of, like, I can tell reasonably quickly, like when we were coming up with the episode, talking about it, like, I can reasonably identify kind of people that are emailing me, if they're probably going to buy, if they're not going to buy, how I should address their objections. Like, it's a lot smoother. When we first did the first launch, it was like kind of a learning process. And it was just like, the volume on that one was crazy, which was great. But it was also like, that one was overwhelming. Now, every time we do it, it's a little bit easier.
And it gets easier because we update our sales page. So we handle the objections on the sales page, and then people know about the course now. When we did that first launch, it was totally new to everybody. Like, even the concept of making money online, doing Facebook ad management, it's not new in my world, but in your reader's world, totally new concept. And so there was so much education that we had to do to warm up the idea. But every launch, now it's turning from like, what is this? Can this really work? To, this is a really cool opportunity. Can I do this? You know, like, it's totally shifted. Or, you know, we even have people that are like, I'm going to sign up tomorrow. I've been saving, you know, I've been wanting to do this. I've been saving up for months. Like, so it's, as word gets around, like, your job gets easier on this front. But especially at the beginning, you've got to do some work. And we used to have conversations, you know, it'd be like, hey, I got this question. How should I handle it? Let's dive into this. Where do you want to start with this? Because this is definitely something that you spend more time on in our business than I do, at least during launches. And so I'm really curious, like, what's the most important thing that you want our readers to know that you want to start with?
Well, I think the biggest thing, okay, so if you are like I was, where you know, a lot of bloggers, like, they start making affiliate income, they start making ad revenue, and then the next step for them is they want to put out a course, right? Like, they're like, okay, I see all these people making tons of money with courses. I want to be that. Which is basically what I did. The first thing that you have to focus on, and we've talked about this before, actually, we talked about this in episode 22, creating a killer sales page. Like, that is where your objections should be handled. Like, I'd say like 95% is total guess, but I'd say like 95% of the objections that we get about both of our courses, Facebook Ads for Bloggers, Facebook Side Hustle, we answer those questions on the sales page. And ours are extensive. Like, we really go through and try to knock out every single objection. And it's different than you see from some other bloggers out there that are maybe using like the Teachable, which is the platform we host our courses on. They're using like the Teachable right. template for sales pages, where it has like talks about the course, talks about the course creator, shows the modules, and has like maybe a 10 question FAQ section. And that's fine. But what you have to realize, like when you're brand new to the course selling world, and you've never sold anything to your audience before, that probably won't be enough to get you massive results because you're new and because you haven't sold anything. You can see some of these other bloggers that are doing that get away with that. Not like
because they have, because they have volume.
They have volume and they have like authority. They have tons of authority. So there's less questions. Right. It's just like they put out a course and everybody's like, ooh, I'm going to buy that. It must be really good. And so like they kind of ignore a lot of what would be common objections with mm-hmm. price and just how it all works. They're like, well, that person said it's good, so it's good. Now we might be getting to that point. Maybe we're at that point now where we don't need the sales page to be as intricate as it is, but I don't think so. I think it's still like we're still building our reputation in the course building world. So that's one thing. Put a lot of effort into your sales page. Definitely check out episode 22 of the podcast, because our sales page copywriter goes through a lot of his process on that. So I think it's a really valuable resource.
Yeah. And start. Really quickly on that, that's a funny episode too, because we recorded that episode just a little behind the scenes right after finishing up a launch. And It was like in the morning. No. It was in the app. It was like afternoon or something just after we closed, and we were delirious.
Yeah. We were
giggly and like just so tired. And so it's kind of amusing. And I think we're, is that the episode that we got the 1-star review for, because we were off topic for like the first 5 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, and that was one, my wife hates that episode because she's like, you guys, like you sound like you're too cocky. Like you just won. But we were excited, because we were just like, we had just finished, like we were done. We were like, oh, this
yeah.
But the launch turned out to be really successful. And just basically in that episode, listen to Chris and just ignore Mike and I, because I think you and I were the ones he actually brought some good knowledge.
Yeah.
We were just kind of.
Well, and you got to keep in mind too, Chris is one of the best in the world. The dude is that good. You know,
our launches are small baby launches to him.
Ours are tiny. Yeah. He's a confident dude. And he should be. Yeah. He's really freaking good. But something that's interesting, you know, one of the reasons we say like the sales page is so important, overcoming objections and stuff. When people hit our order form, it converts at 30%, right? So somebody reads an email, goes to the sales page, reads the sales page, hits the order form, 30% of the people hit the order form convert. And that maybe that doesn't seem huge to you, but it is massive. And when you compare that to a lot of other courses, I mean, I've been doing this for years, helping people launch courses with Facebook ads and strategy and consulting, all that kind of stuff. And we're usually looking at 10% or less as the conversion on that sales page, like anywhere from 3% to 10%. So when you look at ours, like you know, Bobby, you've got great traffic to your site, but the traffic to your site and the traffic to our sales is actually pretty small compared to a lot of other course creators, but we've handled the objections, the copy is strong, and, you know, handle the objections in the page and then do those extra things, the ads and the objections afterward. And that's what allows us to convert the way we do. So yeah, that sales page that you need to basically think about, what concerns is my prospect going to have? This person that's reading the sales page, what are they going to be worried about? And we deal with things like, okay, great. Is Facebook still going to be around in a few years? I'm not a tech person. Can I do this? I live somewhere else in the world. Can I do this? You know, there's all of these objections. I think one of the big ones is, okay, this has worked for your clients, but I don't know if it can work for me, and here's why. And that's a big one. And we learn that even with testimonials. Like sometimes testimonials don't help as much as you think, because they go, great, that person did it, but like, what if I can't, you know?
Yeah.
And you've got to deal with that kind of confidence issue. So you want to handle as much of that stuff on the sales page as you can. And then you need to have responses for those things in your pocket, ready to go for when you're talking to people via email. So
yeah,
I know you mentioned that you can kind of tell like categories that people fall in, and you can usually figure it out pretty quickly based on what they initially say, either in the comment to one of our retargeting ads or in your email inbox when they message you.
Yeah. So typically, like, somebody will go through the sales page, and once they get through the sales page, if they're still not sure, they'll shoot me an email during a launch. And usually I can kind of figure out based on the tone of their email and the kind of question they're asking, like what kind of person, if they're actually going to buy or not. And so I've figured there's about four categories. So the first one is somebody that isn't going to buy the course, but they have a million questions. And a lot of times those people, like, they're super skeptical of what you're offering and they just kind of want to waste your time. I've found that that was more common in the beginning. Like when we first launched the course, there were people that was like, they almost wanted to just waste your time with questions. It's true though. That's the first one. Because you can tell by their tone if they're going to be like, if they come across as like a jerk and they ask some really dumb questions that are answered in the sales page, there's a good chance that they're just going to waste your time.
Well, and I had people that would argue the validity of Facebook ads. And I remember dealing with those objections. And this is like anything when it comes to like arguments. You're not going to convince somebody that has an opinion on the other side. It's okay. You don't need to waste too much time on that. You need to be able to determine whether it's a real question or they're just trying to like pick an argument and be a troll. You need to figure out whether it's a genuine question or they're just trying to be a troll and answer that. But don't get in an argument. Like, you don't need to. And you're not going to convince that person. And a lot of times, like when I get that, and it's gone away. Like, I don't get that as much anymore. It was early on. And I was just like, look, I do this for a living. I've got so many friends that do this for a living. I've helped coach people to get into doing this for a living. And you know, now we've got tons and tons of students that are making really good money, you know, from this. Some have even left their jobs. So it's one of those things. Sure, could Facebook not be an option one day? Of course. But you know, our way of always handling that in the courses, like our course, it's called Facebook Side Hustle, but if Facebook becomes not relevant, we'll call it lead gen side hustle, or we'll call it Pinstagram side hustle, or whatever, because we're teaching marketing, we're teaching lead gen, we're teaching how to create a business and sales and client acquisition. Those are the things that are the bulk of the course. Facebook is just that one piece because it's the tool we use. And so we explain that, you know, to our students. That's how we overcome that objection.
You know, like these people that I'm thinking of that are in that first category, because I remember now who these people were. It was always the people with marketing degrees. They were like, hey, you know, yes, I have a marketing degree from XYZ University. Does this course teach blah, blah, blah? Is it going to be up to my skill level or whatever? They would say all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, oh God. So I'd answer their question. And then they come back with some other, you know, other ridiculous question. And you could tell, like, they didn't believe the course was a good product, even though they didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. No, I remember.
They're just trying to assert their like authority in some way.
I'm better. I have a degree.
Yeah. Yeah. You get those people. So what I realized when I do emails, when I answer emails from people and address these objections, I try to go into a lot of detail with my answers, because the way I see it, if I spend 4 minutes on an email and really dig into their objection and like try to give as much detail as possible and it turns into a sale, that's 4 minutes for $400, $100 a minute. Right. I'll take that all day long. And hopefully anybody that's listening would too. But what happened, so I'll answer a question, and then at the end of it, I'll say, please let me know if you have any more questions. And then, you know, they'll come back with another question. If it's somebody that I don't want to talk to anymore, and I'm like, they're just wasting my time, I remove that part and I'll just say, thank you. And I kind of close the door on asking me more questions, because that it saves me time. If you don't open that door of like, hey, ask me another question, if you keep it closed, they're probably going to leave you alone.
Right.
So a lot of times those people either be like, oh, I'm just not interested in the course, it doesn't seem like it's advanced enough, or, you know, they just stop emailing you.
Right. Another way to close that door is you can just put the link, like, hope that helped. Here's the link when you're ready to buy. And so, you know, that works too. So that first category, people with lots of questions, and I agree, like a lot of them tends to be a little more combative in that category. Yeah. And they're challenging you, and you're not going to convert those people. But there's genuine questions in there as well. But you can tell the difference, right? Like, is it a question or is it like a statement question, right?
Right. The other part of that too is like, let's say you do convert them. Like, let's say you somehow convince this person that doesn't really want to buy the course.
We've done that a couple times.
Yeah. You convert them, you know, you answer all their questions and they very skeptically buy the course. those people are 9 times out of 10 going to come back and want a refund because they're just like, oh, the course wasn't what I thought, or what did they come up with some weird excuse, and they decide to get out anyway. So you just wasted your time.
I already know all of this stuff, so I need to go. And so here's the deal. When that happens for us, well, if somebody is already a Facebook expert, of course they're going to know this stuff. Like there's, everybody thinks Facebook is incredibly complex and there are complex elements, but it's simple. And we make it very simple. And we, in our courses, we only focus on the things you need to do to be successful at whatever it is we're teaching. And we don't go beyond that because we know that implementation is more important than information. Right. And so if you come in with a lot of outside knowledge or experience, then they're looking at the Facebook piece and going like, oh, this isn't anything I don't know. But it's the implementation piece. It's the client acquisition. It's the how do you handle a sales call to close a deal. It's the how do you get your client results? How do you communicate with clients? How do you, the systems, it's all of those other things. And that's the part that a lot of these people that we've had don't know. That's the part of the business that most people in that do this like we do struggle with. And that's why we put so much emphasis on it in the course. So, you've just got to know, eventually you learn, we know that kind of person, we don't want them in our course.
Right.
Right. And we've even said before, handling objections, this is not for you, right? You're not who we created this for. This doesn't seem like a good fit. If you're this skeptical, then you should go check out another course because we're not going to hard sell you, because those people that cause problems in your community, or they ask for refunds, or both, then you're just wasting your time.
That's kind of the key. I think that's why we're spending the most time on this one, because I don't think the other three categories are going to take this much time, but these are the people that are going to waste your time. And that's the thing, was we don't want you to waste your time with people that don't actually want your course. So to get into the second category, which is my second favorite category, you have people that have genuine questions. Like they get through the sales page and they just need clarification on stuff. A lot of them are like, hey, we see that you have this course community. We get a month for free. Can you tell me more about that? So then we go through the objection and just say hey, look, we have this course community. It's a paid group. We have all these coaching resources for you. We have all this stuff for you. It's going to be incredible. But here's the kicker. You can opt out at any time for any reason. And that usually handles the objection. When people go, okay, all I have to do is email this person and I can opt out. Awesome. Right. So you learn how to handle certain objections about your course as you see them more often. You figure out what unlocks the sale, basically.
Right. You learn that through answering the questions.
Right.
Right. And then if it doesn't work, you try something else the next time, and then something the next time. And then when something works, you go, okay, and then use that the next time, and it works again. And then you start to find that. And so I think
just naturally. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the one you mentioned, we have a coaching and support community, and we give a month for free, but there's a paid component if you want to stay after. We have to explain that a lot, right? We also have a order bump, and there's a very limited amount of copy that you can put in there to describe it. So we always have more questions about that. What is this? Because I'm interested, but I want to know more about it.
Right.
Another one that we run into all the time, just to give you an example of how we've handled certain objections, is I live in a very small town. I don't know if I will be able to run ads in my area. Or similarly, I don't live in the US. I live in such and such place. I don't know if ads will work. And those are interesting, because what ends up happening for us is we're teaching ads for local businesses. So people think local to them. And so for these two, we always use examples of me at the agency. And so way that we talk about that is we say, hey, if you're answering it, hey, my partner, Mike, owns an agency. He lives in Texas like I do, and he's got clients on 4 continents, but has never had a client even in the state of Texas. So he's never had a client local to him. When we say local business, we really mean brick and mortar business. And so you could have clients anywhere in the world. They don't have to be local to you. They don't have to be in your small town. And in the course, we actually teach you, nearly a dozen client acquisition strategies. And a lot of them teach you how to get clients outside of your local area. They don't have to just be knocking on doors. So that's how we explain it, and it's always good too, if you can handle an objection with a story, right? And the out of the country one, it's the same thing, and we're basically if your country has Facebook, then this can work because they can have Facebook ads. And then we talk about how at my agency, we work with clients on all these different continents, and Facebook ads work in all of those places, and how it's actually an advantage to run ads outside of the US a lot of times because there's less competition, the ad costs are lower, and you can get your clients better result for their budget. And so we were kind of telling that story using me as an example, or using a client as an example, or a student as an example when we have a chance. And just, you know, what we're trying to do is we're helping them overcome their fear, whatever that the objection is, the question or the fear that's holding them back. Because what they're really saying is, I don't know if this will work for me because of this. And if you can say this will work for you, even because of that, and here's why, that's how you successfully overcome the objection to land the sale.
Right. Yeah. And you'll usually get, you know, with those, you go into a lot of detail in the answer. You try to very thoroughly address the objection. And then you say, hey, if you have any other questions, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time they'll come back with like a second small question. And that's all mm-hmm. you're doing in that one, is you're just kind of pushing them over the edge. Like, you've answered their big question, their big fear. They maybe have one more little thing. And they're like, hey, just one more thing. Just wanted to know about this.
Right.
And they're like, cool, I'm going to go buy the course. Right. So those are typically pretty easy if you go into good detail about the, you know, about the objection. So then you have the third group of people, which is actually, you find them in two places. And these are people that just can't afford whatever product you're selling, right? And so a lot of times I handle it in two different ways, depending on where it comes from. If it comes to my email inbox and it's like, hey, Bobby, I just can't afford, you know, money's tight right now. Because, you know, my audience, a lot of them are, they're budgeters, they're savers, like they don't make impulse purchases. They're very responsible. And they're just like, hey, money's tight right now. I can't quite do it on this launch, you know, let me know when the next launch comes up. Or they're just like, you know, it's a little pricey for me. So the way I handle that, you know, I never be like, haha, you can't afford the course, you suck. Like, you always have to be compassionate with people that kind of step out of their comfort zone and tell you that kind of stuff. So I'm like, well, hey, no big deal. You're not going to hurt my feelings at all if you don't buy the course. It's going to be available later in the year, so you can just save up for it and jump in then down the road. And they're like, cool, sounds good. And a lot of times they do. Right? Because they wanted to buy the course. They wanted it. And my audience likes to budget and save. And so they do that. And then they jump in the course later. So that's in the email inbox. I feel like it's a little bit easier. The second, you know, person that we see that can't afford the course and where this objection comes up, we run retargeting ads to, you know, basically from the sales page back to the sales page. I think these are the ones. Well, it's the card.
Sales page. We run our warm audiences to the sales page to the order cart, and order cart back to the order cart.
I think it's order cart back to the order cart where this comes up the most.
Well, because we have an ad where we say, like, we noticed that you tried to check out for the course, but then you didn't. Like, basically, we noticed you abandoned the cart. What's wrong? Do you have questions about the course? How can we help you? And so we're prompting the question, and so they're answering it. And a lot of times it's budget.
Right. Yeah. And so what happens a lot of times, they'll say like, hey, I can't afford this course. It costs more than I thought it was going to cost or whatever. So, I mean, typically you're not going to be able to convert those people into a sale. And we have a pretty strong ideology that we don't really want people buying our course on a credit card. We'd much rather you save up and pay for it. You're going to feel better 100%. About it. It's going to be, it's just, it aligns with the Millennial Money Man.
We designed the course originally for your audience, right? It's expanded, but originally we designed it for your audience as a way to help them get out of debt or save or whatever. So we have a very strong policy that we don't want anyone to create debt for an opportunity to make money.
Yeah.
That just doesn't, we don't believe in that. And we try to avoid it. We don't go as far as like Ramit Sethi does, where he's like, if I find out that you put this on a credit card, you know, and couldn't pay it off, like if that gets back to me, I will refund your money and remove access to the course. We don't go to that extent, but it's something that we discourage pretty strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. So when somebody comes up with that objection, they're like, I can't afford the course. You can go one of two ways. You can do the same thing where you basically say like, hey, no worries, it's going to be open later in the year. The problem is when you're doing that, you're publicly replying to them and you're giving people that are on the fence, like let's say they have the money, but they're not sure if they want to buy it. You're giving them the excuse. Yeah. They're going, oh, well, I could just buy it later. I'm not going to buy it now. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to give people an out to not buy the course. So what I typically do is I'll go in and I'll just start listing basically the features and benefits of the course. and how great the course is. Like, sorry, you can't afford it right now, but here are all the great things about the course. And you're not answering their objection. You're just answering the objections of the other people that are scrolling through the comments and looking at it. And you're convincing mm-hmm. them to buy the course. So like you've kind of moved past that person in a way, and you're kind of addressing the general public, but that works really well. Or, you know, I don't know how well that actually converts, but that at least spins it in a positive way to where it's like, okay, this is, they're not going to buy the course, but I can talk about the course and a lot of great things about the course for somebody else that's looking.
Right. I want to talk about another public one that's really interesting. And this is not something that you and I do, but it's something that just kind of happens naturally, is we have people post in the Millennial Money Man Facebook group. And they'll be like, hey, I'm interested in the course. I have these questions. What do y'all think? And you have to be careful with how you handle this. And the way we handle it is, if they have a question, we will answer the question. But if they just want a review, then we stay out of it, right? And we either won't post, or we'll just be like, hey, this is a great place to answer. You know, we'll let our students do the talking. But what ends up happening is a lot of our students are in that community, and they go in there and they respond, and they give very, very honest responses. Like, it's really great. And a lot of them are positive, because we have a lot of positive responses to our course. But we've even had people, you know, that have come on and say like, hey, I took this and it wasn't for me. You know, it ended up, I needed to devote more time to it than I was willing to devote. And so it ended up not being great for me, but the content was really good. The teaching was really good. The support was really good. Even comments like that, where they're kind of like, it wasn't for me. There's always that but, which has been really positive for us. Our people do it anyway. And we've had times where we've had to go like on the post, like if it gets missed, where we might be, you know, we might tag a few students that are like in that group. But you've got to be careful with that too, because you don't want it to look like you're cherry picking students either. Like, oh yeah, let's get our top people. So that's kind of the thing you have to worry about, like if you're having to tag people in. Well, but that's going to come up.
Actually, I have kind of like a system for handling that now. So perfect. When I see, you know, somebody comments in the Millennial Money Man community, and maybe it's a couple hours old and nobody's answered, just, you know, whatever. So a lot of times, like if they do it in the middle of the night or something, nobody sees it. So I'll go and I'll be like, hey, I'll answer their question. I'll be like, for what it's worth, you know, take this with a grain of salt because I created the course, but here's what I've noticed by watching all of these people go through the course. Here's what happens. And I'll mm-hmm. get the answer. I'll kind of answer their objection, but then I'll ask, would you like me to tag some people that have been successful
in
the course? And then they always come back and say yes. Like, nobody's gonna be like, no, I don't want to hear from them. And so then you just make sure you don't tag the same people every time. Like, right. I'll brainstorm and be like, hey, Mike, who are some of the people in our 5K club? Or like, hey, who are some people we can tag? And we'll talk about it. And then I'll just tag a couple people. And our students are awesome. And they, you know, they're happy to go in and just, we don't prearrange this. We're not like, hey, you know, help us out. They just, we tag them. And if whatever they say, whatever they say, if they say something negative, oh, well, you know, they typically don't, because we feel like we did a good job with the course. But they'll go in and handle the objections, and that always works out really positively. So I'm glad you brought that up, though, because you will see that where people go to a public forum and start, you know, start asking questions about the course, which you want, you know, because you that's where it's like you can prove your course. If somebody comes into the public forum and everybody's trashing it, then maybe you didn't do a good job, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If you believe in your course, you want people talking about it publicly, and that shouldn't scare you. Doesn't scare us.
It doesn't. So, and that's a good point, though, you know? And so then you come to the last group of people, which this is always really interesting. And these are the most fun, I think, because it's the easiest. So we'll send all these emails out for the launch. We'll do the launch sequence. And on the last day is when you typically see this. Sometimes you see it throughout the launch, but on the last day, we send out a closed card email at about 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I remember on the first launch, it was crazy. This was like the most fun I've ever had in my life answering questions before. Like, we sent out that email and my inbox got flooded with people that didn't even have a question. They were just like, hey, Bobby, I've read everything. I've read every email, read the sales page. I understand everything. I just need somebody to tell me I can do this. And you just like, when I first saw that, I remember when I saw that in January, I was like, are they serious? Like, they want me to just tell them to buy the course? Like, that's what they
want. You actually, I remember you messaging me about it. I'm like, yeah, just give them a, you got this, bro. Like,
yeah. And so I did. I'd be like, yes, you can do this. Like, this is something you can do. I believe in it. And like, they just go buy the course. And it was like, Huh. But it wasn't just a one-off thing. Like, it kept happening where people were just like, oh, I'm just so close. I just need somebody to push me over the edge, and I trust your opinion and all this stuff. And so I just say, like, yeah, I think it's the right choice for you. Because, and that's the other thing. It goes back to, do you believe that you have a good product or do you not? So if, like, you go to that question and that person has that objection and they're like, do you think this is actually a good idea for me? And if you have a second where you're like, ooh, I don't know, then you don't believe in your product, or you're not sure that it's, you know, really right. Or unless somebody's like, hey, I'm going to have to put this on a credit card or whatever. Then you do the right thing as a human and you go, no, you should not buy this course right now. It's kind of rare.
You need, that's important though, right? I told you yesterday, I had a sales call, right? Get on the sales call and I'm getting a vibe. I can tell just from his facial expressions on the video call and some of the questions he's asking. And I was like, he's not comfortable with the investment, right? Because it's an investment of time. It's an investment of money. And I didn't think he was ready for it. I didn't push the sale. I basically was like, you need to take some time. You need to think about it. If you want to do this, I think you should wait. You know, this is for ad management for his business. It's like, if you're going to do this and you're having these concerns, I think it's better if you wait until January, because this is a slow period of time in the fitness industry, because he was a gym owner. And if you're still worried about the investment, I was like, you've run some ads on your own. I think a good option for you would be taking my course, because then you can learn about it. You can get support from me and my team, but it's a much easier investment if you're willing to put that extra time in. And then when you feel more comfortable with it, you've increased your income a little bit, then maybe you can come back and actually work with me. And because at the end of the day, like, you have to care about the people that you're going to work with, the prospects, the audience, whatever. And so if it isn't a good fit for them, if they've been listing all of these things that they are dealing with, and you go, they're not going to be able to devote the time to the course to get results, or it's going to put them in too much of a financial pinch, they probably shouldn't spend the money on that. And you should tell them that. And sometimes that has the reverse effect and it makes them want to do it even more. And then those people hustle their faces off. But sometimes they're just like, okay, thank you, appreciate, you know, the honesty. And those people tend to come back later. But like, it's not always a good fit. If you believe, like I believe with our course, I think anybody can do this. And I think as long as they put the time in, they do the work. I really believe that. I feel like it's that accessible. And that's why most of the time when somebody asks that question to you or I, it's like, you've got this. Like, this works. Are you willing to put the time in? Yes, I am. Okay, then you can do this, right? And you're just giving them that confidence boost, because a lot of times, like, we just need confirmation. We need somebody to tell us, because we're in the space dealing with this on our own in our head. And the way our minds work, it's always negative, you know? There's always doubts. And so you just need that affirmation. And that's really all that is. Those are great emails. They're exciting. One, it's easy for you to handle that objection, but like, it's exciting, because if you believe in what you're doing, like we do, you're excited for that person and the things that are going to be coming down the road for them.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, you know, just as a last point on that, a lot of time you'll hear that a 3% refund rate is a really good refund rate on a course. And we typically average below 2%, like at 2% or below, for our refund rates, depending on the month. And that's because we don't try to oversell the course to people that don't need to buy the course. Yeah. And that saves us time. It's not just about a number and like, oh, we've got a good refund rate. It saves you time in having your team refund people and you having to go email back and forth with people. Like, it's just a more efficient business model if you don't try to oversell on the front end. So, I think that's a great point though. You have to take care of the people that are considering purchasing your product, whether it's like, you know, your service or the actual course or whatever, you have to keep their best interests in mind as well. And then that's just good karma. I feel like it's good.
Yeah, for sure. So the big final takeaway here, you need to know your prospect. You need to know who you're selling to, what their fears are, what their concerns are, what their goals are. Like, you need to know these things. You need to know it inside and out. Because you need to be able to address those things adequately, and you need to be able to address them on the sales page. If you're creating a product correctly, you should be creating a product to solve a problem, a pain, or a desire for that person, right? You're not creating the product just because you know how to do a thing and then you hope that people will want it. It needs to solve a problem. And that's usually people create, they create the product and then they figure out how to market it instead of figuring out what people need and then creating the thing they can just put in their lane that solves the, their problem. Yeah. And like, that was what we did with this course, but like, you need to do that. And that's what most people don't do. But when you do that and you know those things, this becomes easy. Your sales page becomes more effective because you're able to go in there and you're able to address every single question.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, I've had two people message me about the sales page this week, which gets Big Papa Chris all excited when people comment about the sales page and his work. But one of them, it was really funny because it was like, okay, I read all of your sales pages. I love them. They're so long, but I love them. And then the next comment was, I felt like every step of the way as I was reading it, if something would pop into my head, then y'all would turn around and answer that thing like you were reading my mind. And that's the goal, right? And the way we got there is that we tried to put everything we could in there. And then every time somebody would message us during a launch with a new concern, we would write a new section of the sales page.
Yep.
And there's long sales pages, it's not a problem. People think, oh, nobody's going to read that. Like it doesn't, you know, it shouldn't be that long. That's not true. Because what happens is even if somebody doesn't read the whole sales page, they're going to read the headlines and they're going to read the spots that are relevant to them. And so you should just keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it for every issue, roadblock, objection, question, whatever that comes your way. Because if one person's bringing it up, 100 people are thinking it. Right. Yep. And doing that is going to create a more fluid funnel where more people are going to get to the order page and you're going to have more shots at a sale.
Yeah.
So I think that's it, man. Unless you've got anything else to figure out, I think we're good there.
Just don't be surprised when people don't actually read the sales page. Like you can either be really frustrated by that. Like you can be like, oh God, I can't believe people aren't reading the sales page. Or you can just accept it as a fact of life that people are not going to read every detail of the sales page and you're going to have to answer questions that are on there.
And that it's an opportunity.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And the biggest one is price.
Yeah.
I always love that. I really want to join this course. I love everything about it. How much is it? Okay. The price was like all over the sales page. Okay.
It's like the biggest thing. It's in the biggest font on the sales page. But yeah, you know, like so, you get past that and you're just like, you get to the point where you're like, okay, I just need to answer this question. Like you can be mad about it or you can just
because it's an opportunity. Because if you answer that question correctly, you're going to make some money.
Yeah. Yep. So positive. Awesome. Yeah.
So positive. we're not even cup half full people. We're cups full to the brim people. That's how we roll.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you everyone for listening to this. We hope, you know, you found it helpful. If you're wanting to get into launching your own course, creating your own course, you definitely need to go back and listen to episodes 2, 3, and 4, where we talk about planning, designing the course, pre-launch, the launch itself. We really went deep on those episodes into everything. So those are going to be really valuable for you if you're getting into that. And if you've got any questions about how to launch a course, let us know, or creating a course, let us know in the comments. Shoot us an email at team@laptopempires.com. We want to know what you want to learn about so we can talk about it. And with that, please do us a favor. If you love this podcast, please share it. Please subscribe, all of those things. And that's it. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.